And we are live. It is the War Room. I am Jason Varmus subbing in. We got a couple hours together, folks. Here's the deal. You know, I was listening to Gavin McGinnis and been very aware of the guy for a very, very long time. Probably been seeing some of his videos show up in my feed and watching them. I don't know, for the past decade or so, before he was doing his own thing and he was a part of Rebel News, right? That's probably when he became on my radar. And look, I think Gavin's very funny. I think he has awful takes. And I think I've only been in the room with Gavin once, and this was at actually an Alex Jones event where I was in D.C. For a free Julian Assange event. And it just so happened that Alex held this big free speech conference out there in D.C. as well around the same time. So I stuck around. Let's start with a fun one. Rick Rubin? He was picking on Rick Rubin. Now, this is going to actually also get, and we're going to cover real stuff here, by the way. I want to make sure that you know we're going to get into his position in Iran. The idea that X or Musk are a free speech platform, that's ridiculous. And he also talked up Conor McGregor, which we'll get into just briefly. But Rick Rubin, we're going to start fun. Okay, Rick Rubin has produced some of the greatest albums of all time. In fact, it's kind of funny, because in the same breath of him kind of bashing Rick Rubin, right, guys? He talked about the Beastie Boys a little bit later on. How do you think Rick Rubin and the Beastie Boys got their start together? And he also picked on System of a Down, one of my all-time favorites. And he's produced, I think he's produced every single one of their albums, which are all pure gold wrapped in diamonds. With a platinum finish, Gavin, just to let you know. That's how good that is. But let's take it into AI for a second, which at the top of the list of Bilderberg, this very important surprise meeting, first time that they've met this early in my entire lifetime, actually in almost 50 plus years. I believe we did a whole video on it, including the Bilderberg connections to Epstein. We're going to talk about some of those as well today. Very real, very in the files, and not, you know, part of some lunacy. Actually, Epstein directing Mandelson. Okay, the right-hand man of Starmer. Remember, Starmer had to apologize. Mandelson went to Bilderberg 17 times, giving him a script for one of the Bilderberg events. But again, we'll get into that in a little bit. AI is complete and total garbage. Really what it is, when we're talking about looking up information, it's the new narrative control search engine. And what do I mean by that? Well, I asked AI, Google, in this instance, we didn't Grok it. Who knows, maybe Grok was a little better, but I find Grok pulling the same Johnny nonsense. They lie to you constantly, by the way. I've encountered that several times over the past several weeks of doing research into 9/11, which is my bread and butter, basically just trying to find source material of stuff that I already knew about, and then it lies to me about the source material. And then it apologizes, oh, that's an error. I'm very sorry, when you call them out on it and you actually provide a URL to them. So let me show you how Google, just very quickly before this initial break, is really just AdSense narrative garbage. So I ask very easily, full list of Rick Rubin produced albums in chronological order. Now, I had to restart my computer, so you're not going to see the initial one, but it did start with this. Is that a list? Or is that a bunch of websites it wants me to click on because they have ad revenue with them? And then, you know, it says it'll include mistakes. And in this one, it gave me a list likened to this one on the bottom from his beginning of his career to 99, but refused to do the more modern stuff. Why is that? Why is that? Well, it's programmed by people, and it's programmed on purpose to be deceptive and engaging and then bring you into their narrative. We're going to talk more about that and those terrible takes by McGinnis after this.
We have two new products at theallshowstore.com that are guaranteed to work and deliver healthy results. One is Ultimate Energy. It's very simple. High-quality fusion of organic caffeine that is time-released, then with a very strong dose of high-quality L-theanine that relaxes you and gives you clarity and focus. A lot of people take it for tests. They also take caffeine. You take the two together, it gives you smooth, continual release energy for up to 10 hours. A fabulous product, Ultimate Energy. And then, when it's nighttime and it's time to chill, Ultimate Chill, a big dose of L-theanine and a big dose of ashwagandha root that gives you rest, relaxation, and better, deeper sleep. That's also great for your immune system and your whole body. Good, clean energy and good, clean sleep. These two products together are amazing, and they're now available at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get the Ultramethylene Blue, get our incredible iodine, T3, bovine colostrum, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the second American revolution worldwide and taking the globalist on head on.
Find out in a moment. We are live. Yes. All right. Thought we were. Hadn't heard my producer. Sorry. We're going to get back to the AI and the bad takes because it's extremely important. So as I just showed everybody, I asked the AI first. But it's really easy. Okay. Had I wanted to do it without the AI, I could have just gone to probably like an IMDb type site and found it out. But I wanted to see after it gave me the initial Johnny Nonsense ad report what it was going to do. So like I said, it changed this to not give me, you notice there's no response here. That response was what I kind of showed you with the bullet points. But then I say, I asked for a full list, nothing else. Please provide with literally directing the AI for no other context. What's it do? It gives me 1980s highlights. But hey, let's go through some of these highlights for Gavin McGinnis in case he doesn't love great music. You know, we talked about License to Ill with the Beastie Boys. And you notice in this one, it doesn't even tell you some of the artists in this one. We'll get to it. I mean, he's produced Slayer albums, Rain and Blood. You know, say what you want about Slayer. I get it. That's some heavy metal. Red Hot Chili Peppers throughout their career. Californication, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, you name it. One Hot Minute, very underrated album. I'm a big Tom Petty fan. With the Heartbreakers, without the Heartbreakers. Wildflowers, man. I mean, are we done? Are we going to at least concede this point? Toxicity. I mean, I get it. You don't love great metal. I do. Audio Slaves album. He did Death Magnetic with Metallica. And I specifically remember being in Austin, Texas, back in those earlier InfoWars days, those InfoWarrior days, and loving that album. Loving it. Loving it. I'd go like 15 other albums. I'm going to let Gavin McGinnis maybe do his own research because apparently he doesn't. Back to the frustration with the AI. Okay, so I keep going through and why I ask it why it's not giving me what I ask for. I say it again, full chronological order like you did for the 80s and 90s, which it did. Still refused to do it. Okay, I said you did it again. What did it do? It gave me a bunch of ads again. So this is what it initially gave me through the 90s. And, you know, essentially, I gave it an almost identical prompt and finally got what I wanted for. And then, like I said, because I restarted it, more ads. And here is kind of that. You do get it kind of in chronological order, but not in the same way. AI is trash, everybody. Danzig, come on. He did Danzig, everybody. You could say it was a cover album of Johnny Cash, but that just wouldn't be correct, Gavin. Quickly, before we get into Bilderberg, another horrible take by him. You know, we're talking about Trump. He talked about remaining on the Trump train. Now, I've never choo-chooed on that train. I've called balls and strikes. I've liked a lot of the rhetoric and some of the actions, especially in regards to globalism. And I'm gonna say it. He was a narrative game changer. You know, we're going to go to an article over here in a moment over at The New American. And I spent some time with the head of The New American probably a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Time flies. And, you know, he was very you know, adamant, kind of in my same position. It's the first guy that's gone off the reservation, but there were still troubling aspects. And this is even, you know, pre, obviously, Iran. This is probably around that election cycle when he's coming back in the second term. And look, I voted for the guy three times. I just want to make that extremely clear. And you could say it's the lesser of two evils. Maybe I had a little bit more hope in 2016 than I did in 2020. But I mean, I've been covering Joe Biden before he was, you know, a zombie dementia patient that nobody in the media was reporting about. All you had to do was watch the debates. 3-0-0 Joe. It was very clear. I mean, as a human being, I get things wrong. I get things wrong, too. I think we should all admit that with humility. And I thought there was no chance that they were going to, you know, choose Joe Biden as their Democratic nominee. My money at the time wasn't on Kamala embarrassed because she pulled so low. It's unbelievable how much she pulled low in that 2020 before they put her in 2024 and, you know, had her as like, I don't even know if it's the face of the vice presidency. She did absolutely nothing. Like, it was incredible how little she did. I thought they were going to try to throw your grandma oatmeal, right? They didn't want Bernie because Bernie gets a little too real on his socialist policies, aka actually benefiting people in his mind, right? He's too much. But grandma oatmeal, aka Elizabeth Warren, seemed like the perfect fit, checked enough of the identity politics boxes. Nope, they went Joe Biden. So again, I voted for Trump three times. I'm unashamed. The stuff, at least, you know, talking about climate, the Paris Accords, those are important things. Not just totally opening and flooding the border. Those are important things. Not advocating for, you know, literally, physically and mentally disfiguring your children sexually. Because those drugs, it's over, sauce. You know, you want to know why. I mean, first of all, obviously, there's something mentally wrong with that child at that point if they're even going along with the madness, right? You add the type of drugs and hormones they put you for, it's over. It's over. I mean, you talk about crimes against humanity. So again, on board with that, okay? The Trump train has been severely derailed with this Iran thing. And look, McGinnis actually admitted that he's one of the few people there, right? And like I said, we're going to get into that a lot more. But I just want to say this about it. You know, I watched the UFC this weekend. And honestly, I would have went to Bilderberg, but I had to go out to Des Moines for my my niece's big regional volleyball thing, family first, always. And I hope that you guys feel the same way. And by the way, knowing stuff, being informed, that also helps your family. Because then you have discernment. You know, ignorance is not bliss, right? So I'm watching the UFC, and Trump comes in with Dana White and the crew, and, you know, Marco Rubio is already seated. I think Don Jr. might have been there, et cetera. When he came in to the UFC, when he had first been reelected, you know, with the Muskernuts and all the others, it was pandemonium. Go watch it. People erupted. They were so disturbed by the last, 4 years of what they'd been through. Again, with an onset dementia patient who couldn't talk, they cheered like crazy. Go watch it from this weekend. Nope. And I think the first hand he shook as he went over to the seat was Dan Bongino. You think Bongino's popular with people that aren't essentially an extension of boomerism? And I had some conversations with some boomers this weekend that we'll probably get into in a bit. But the red line has been crossed so many times at this point militarily, right? I had issues with the first Trump presidency, the first 2016. In fact, at that same meeting that Gavin McGinnis was in the room with, is the first time I got to sit down and talk to Harrison Smith. And obviously, Harrison normally hosts this program, hosts a little bit of the Alex Jones Show today. And Harrison and I were having a discussion. I believe Rob Dew was in the room. Dew just texted me. Made me smile, your text, Dew. Real smile, not just the LOL. And we were talking about Trump and military action. I'm like, yes, it's great that we haven't expanded Afghanistan and Iraq. But I mentioned Yemen and the drone bombings and how Trump's administration had actually drone bombed more than Obama's administration. 100%, everybody. 100%. And whether that's Trump's ignorance or not, it's real. And you have to address it because, again, if we don't address these things and speak up, they don't change. They don't even get into the vernacular. All right? And later on, we'll talk about Trump attacking Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens, Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, because that's important too. You know, I don't think all of this is theater, although a lot of the world is a stage, and that's why there is this fight for narrative management over everything else. It's over everything else, and that's what's the genius of Alex Jones and InfoWars. He saw that information war as the battleground almost before anybody and coined that term. A big deal. And the battle for the info war, at least this year, in my mind, is being lost on a severe scale. And that's why we're going to move into Bilderberg and their form of narrative management. Okay? When we talk about Bilderberg and we talk about the Predator class, a lot of people are now calling it the Epstein class. Now, this article, this is the New American. I actually discussed this, I think, about a week ago, maybe a little bit less. I think maybe it was Wednesday. I did it because it was the first time I did a broadcast since learning that Bilderberg again. And I don't think that Bilderberg had planned to meet in the first week of at the tail end of the first week. I guess it's the front of the second week, right? I think the 9th was Thursday. First and foremost, the only way it really leaked was Mark Rutte, who had his schedule publicly out there, who is the head of NATO, okay, Secretary General of NATO. The other, and I mean the previous Secretary General of NATO, Bilderberg, now steering member. So he's been a staple of Bilderberg for some time, Jens Stoltenberg, now a steering member. So on Rutte's schedule, it was meeting the Trump administration on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, attending Bilderberg in D.C. Now, more and more, it seems, in the 2000s, if you will, D.C., Chantilly, Virginia first, but now D.C. is a meeting place for Bilderberg. Like I said previously, in my entire lifetime, it has always been either the very beginning of May, like usually like May 8th or 9th, kind of like this, all the way to like the end of June, it could be. So like mid-April is when I start trying to dick-a-dick-a-do and find out if there's any reports. And shout out to Chris Don T. Harris, who shot me the text. Shout out to Dan Dix, who we're going to mention a little later from Press for Truth. I think that he did an emergency broadcast with Alex on this subject matter on Saturday. He got out there. Awesome. Because no mainstream media covered it this year. So Rutte, Secretary General of NATO, has, by the way, a meeting not just with Trump, okay? A meeting with Rubio, who's at the UFC, like I just said. Rubio is horrible. Like, what happened to the days of Trump and little Marco? Now he's going after people like Massey, who's the real deal. The real deal. Yep, Massey's just gaining popularity, and as well he should. He actually stands by the values that he says he does. He doesn't make drastic left turns that not only are totally and completely militarily insane, and in my opinion, insane against humanity. I mean, does Palestine even really exist anymore? No one's even talking about that. I was going to do a whole thing like just on that alone. I mean, when has that been in the conversation? We're talking about Lebanon and Beirut right now, of which the narrative managers are erasing it from the memory hole. And by narrative managers, we talked about Google being one. We'll get to X being one. Don't worry. This is Apple. Weird how it's all these technopolies. We'll show you who's a Bilderberg in a moment. Back to the Epstein class. So Epstein here in one of the emails I think this is like a 2012-ish email. He is being advised on how he can do PR and who he needs to get in bed with. And they know that he's a member of the Trilateral Commission. And amongst the other organizations they mention is Bilderberg. Now, this person, this elite fixer that he's talking about, I think it was Steven something or other. It's Osborne and Partners is the firm. I do remember that. And let me see if it says it. It talks about the BRICS summit and Bilderberg. Okay. Now, what this guy obviously doesn't know is that Jeffrey Epstein is sending Peter Mandelson and other parties, by the way. I think Tom Collins is also mentioned in there, but not the same kind of relationship of his script for Bilderberg. Of his script for Bilderberg. All the world's a stage. This is what we want you to sell to the other elite class. All right? And, you know, just quickly shying away from that and kind of just keeping with Epstein, because it all happened in the same week. It all happened together. You had that Melania. I am not Epstein's victim. Now, I just thought that this was the most odd timing that she came out and said this, okay? Because it's been years and years and years that the allegations were out there that it was actually Epstein that had thrown some party. I think it was Ari Ben-Menashe that's the first person to put that out, that essentially it was an audition for wife number three. I never reported any of it as fact. What I reported as fact is that this was a person who was a model. Okay. Obviously, Epstein heavy in the modeling industry. You know, Trump also having that connection there with the beauty pageants. All right. Never said anything about any kind of child abuse or any of that. They clearly had a relationship. And I had talked about, you know, when the deniers were out there, a lot of people were like, well, Trump never rode on his plane. I go, I've never said that. But Trump himself, in a news article, is waiting for Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell to board his plane, and he's with Melania. Okay? Now, I know the press has been reporting on this email, and maybe that's why she decided to say something now, but what really rubbed me the wrong way about, and I know that Alex believes that she's getting ready to leave Trump. Roger Stone doesn't think so. Who knows? What rubbed me the wrong way was her out-and-out lie that there had been fake pictures of her and Epstein circulating for years. That's not real, all right? The picture, you know, she talked about the parties and the event. That's real, that they were all together and photographed with. And yeah, being chummy with one another, for sure, okay? Outside of that, I don't know. But I know I had never seen a fake or AI-generated picture or Photoshop picture, because really AI's only been around for a couple years to the general public to do something like that. That's not real. So what are we doing? Why are you lying? Like, lies don't make friends and they don't build trust in your narrative. Something to consider. You know, and it's so funny because after she said that, all of a sudden a clearly AI generated photo of her, Ghislaine, and Epstein wearing a Palm Beach Pete shirt goes viral. And just like the Palm Beach Pete thing went viral. You notice when you get into the meat and potatoes of the ruling class, their agenda, which we're going to go over today, the Bilderberg group, that the media is not interested. And quite frankly, neither is social media. The Bilderberg group should have been trending everywhere this weekend. Nowhere sauce, nada, Zippo, zilch, anywhere. Any platform, barely a nut's hair of a mention anywhere, okay? Instead, Palm Beach Pete goes viral. A fake AI photo of Epstein walking around Tel Aviv goes viral. When things of that nature, okay, are being seen everywhere and on repeat parrot style, it's time to take a step back and really ask yourself why that's being promoted. Okay? Look, sometimes the truth does go viral. But boy, do we have to fight, kick, scream, scratch and claw for it. In fact, let's just give you a little narrative example. So go do it. Type in Bilderberg right now, Google, which is, you know, again, a technopoly. Like that's what it is. It's nothing else. A technopoly. It's an extension of the National Security Agency. You know, Sergey Brin, you know, back in the DISA, Larry Page, back in the DISA, when they're creating their algorithm before Google is basically a platform, right? Before it's Chrome, before it's a Chromebook, before it's Android, before it's any of that. It's just a website you go to search things. Yeah, NASA and DARPA helped them with that, gave them the algorithm for that. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that NASA and Google are still in bed together on quantum computing and mechanics and artificial intelligence? I mean, they're the ones that put the public spin on it. Oh, there it is. I mean, guys, totally and completely wild. And we can't make that connection. And by the way, they're at Bilderberg. So here's their search engine. Let's take a look. And by the way, their search engine is excluding at least one article. But this shows you the mainstream media nowhere. And I was hopeful. You know, I was actually talking to my good friend, Charlie Skelton, who has done amazing work on Bilderberg the past couple decades. He hasn't even put out an article. I don't know that they even commissioned him. And usually he's able to get either like the London Guardian or another European publication to let him do one. Zip. Oh, and, you know, we'll refresh. And just so everybody sees the tools, it's sorted by date. So Josh Friedman, who we're going to talk about, who was down there with Dan Dix and has been covering this for years as well, he wrote something that's on the Cal Coast News. We went over the New American article. That's it. You got Democratica 4 days ago. This is a week ago, and nothing to do with the current meeting. Four articles. Now, there was an article like a week or so ago, like this is April 8th, not even, and that doesn't show up in Google's little narrative management center, where Borje Brend, again, just like Ben, is no longer part of the steering committee and going to Bilderberg, at least officially. Neither is Borje Brend. And maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong, butchering it, but that shows the effect. People like you refusing the Johnny Nonsense narrative, refusing to say case closed and that we know everything about. We know what's going on with Epstein and arms dealing and human trafficking and blackmail, okay, and narrative management. And dare I say it, 9/11, maybe before and after, we don't know. A fraction of, and you know what we do know, when those emails come out, we know that they're not communicating the really important stuff via email. It's call me. It's call me. Will we ever know the depth of those conversations? I don't know that we will. I know that we got to keep fighting for the truth because the truth matters. So when we get back, we are going to go over the agenda and participant list of this emergency Bilderberg meeting, why it's so important, what they may or may not have been talking about, the significance of those points, and much more. Go check out the alexjonesstore.com right now and support the InfoWar.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
And we are back. We're talking Bilderberg 2026 in D.C., narrative management and control. And, you know, earlier I just showed you Josh Friedman's work. Okay, so Josh Friedman has this great article out there. And it is California funding pours into Bilderberg despite tech elites fleeing the state. And that is 100% correct. All right. First and foremost, we have to understand that California, New York, I mean, Texas, these are true battleground states just by their sheer size. Okay. Not only their geographic locations, but their sheer size and population, period. The cities that have been built there, the infrastructure that has been built there, all right? So, yeah, they're, and especially the corruption. Like, it doesn't get much more corrupt than New York and California politics, full stop. Good luck getting somebody who's halfway honest in there. And I wish that weren't the case, but it really is. You got to think locally, right? And when you can, act globally. And, you know, I'm out here in Iowa. I'm doing what I can here in my little community, but I'm also on the border of Illinois, another extremely corrupt state just because of Chicago. You know, that's another, I mean, I probably just named the top four in the country, you know, for infrastructure and really narrative management. You know, what can and can't be allowed and the driving corruptions that you see in those states. Now, Bilderberg in particular, I just showed you the article Friedman also got just a short video of MI6 chief Braze Meteorol departing Bilderberg 2026. That's only 5 seconds long. But my man Dan Dix of Press for Truth did this short little video, and you'll actually get to see Friedman in it, of Ann Applebaum of The Atlantic, who's been there a lot, I think a lot over the last decade. Don't know if she's missed one in the last decade, also making her way out.
So here we have Ann Applebaum, one of the largest mainstream media outlets, owners inside the conference. And she's
big meeting,
trying to make her get away in an Uber, interestingly. I've spoken to her a few times in previous years. And I think she knows who we are now because she used to talk to us. But now maybe she understands where we're coming from. And she's...
What? That we don't think that elitists, the predator class, the power structures, the Anglo-American-Israeli-Saudi empire slash alliance get to meet in secret? Yeah, it's a problem. And as I'm going to show you, it's not just The Atlantic. WB is there. Warner Brothers, bigger than ever. Now, they're a big part of narrative management. You better believe that. The Economist, Bloomberg, they're there. What is it? Axel Springer with Matthias Dofner. Dofner's there every year. In fact, they've gotten Dofner several times. So let's get into the open agenda. The public face of Bilderberg, right? What they put out. And to give people an idea of when at least these people know when the next meeting's going to be, it at least is like 6 to 7 weeks out. And in the Epstein emails, that's kind of apparent. You have Mandelson emailing Epstein about going to Chantilly, Virginia, going to Virginia for Bilderberg, I believe in 2012. And saying, this is an April email, it's going to be like the third week of May. So they at least know then when it's going to be. I really feel like this one got moved up after the escalation in Iran and the reality of not only the military geopolitical repercussions, but the financial and economic ones, obviously. And of course, controlling those narratives. So the very first thing on the list, and this is their official list, Bilderbergmeetings.org, is artificial intelligence and then Arctic security. Okay, we're going to start right there on the full stop with those two in mind, because actually they integrate more than you would think. What do you mean, Jason? Well, AI and these data centers, first, wildly unpopular. And for good reason. They're awful. They are absolutely 100% terrible. But Jason, you just used the AI. I use the tools available to me, despite the fact that I know that they are part of control, command and control systems, because I have to. And I have to point out their overt deceptions and the hypocrisies that they create everywhere. And even within my own life, right? Like, I'm post this on YouTube after this, despite the fact that I was taken off of YouTube, I think, 5 separate times during the COVID-1984 nightmare, despite the fact I was demonetized for 5.5 years. And by the way, with narrative management, don't you guys, I mean, they brought back some channels. They brought back Dan Dix's channel. They brought back Corbett's channel. There was word on the street Alex Jones was going to be able to come back. Remember that? Remember that post that they made? That everybody was going to get another chance. They're wiping the slate clean. Hey, what happened when InfoWars tried to get back on YouTube? I'd encourage them to try to do it again, because they said it was like a time. We're not ready yet. Well, how much longer you need? What was that, 4, 5, 6 months ago when Alex did that? So I use the tools I can. And with artificial intelligence, I mean, I should have played this one video that I played I don't even know if I played it on my channel. Maybe we'll find it in the next hour and play it. But essentially, you know, it's this guy. He bought his house like in 2008 or 2009, likes the area. I think it was in Michigan. And now his home is worth $0. The massive hum. Forget about what else with those data centers and the amount of energy they're producing, you know, might be detrimental to the immediate environment around it. Who knows, right? We've all talked about the kids playing under power lines, that joke, right? It's the sound alone. Your house is worth $0. Sorry. And do you think the companies are going to, the only way they're buying that out, and they'll buy it out for pennies on the dollar, is if they are going to expand the data center, putting these in residential neighborhoods. That's one. Now, what do I mean by Arctic security? Now, I know the flat earthers are going to go, wow, Arctic security, I knew it, the ice wall. Number one, Greenland, obviously, a part of that conversation. I think the prime minister of Denmark, we'll show it to you, is on the attendee list this year. That's one aspect of it. And I think that Greenland, there are numerous reasons they want it, but if they put data centers in the Arctic, if they are able to maneuver a way to power them outside of the public view and cool them outside of the public view, because these things get extremely hot, right? That's half the battle, is the fact that they're using so much fresh water in the areas they currently are without the next-gen technology that they intend to supply to these data centers, especially the massive ones like Facebook's Meta wants to put together, the ones that are like two-thirds the size of Lower Manhattan. Let me repeat that, two-thirds the size of Lower Manhattan. They want several nuclear reactors, many nuclear reactors at those sites. See, it's okay to have nuclear power when it's not for human beings. They demonize it otherwise. And look, I'm on the fence. I think, you know, there are definitely some negatives there. But you notice they're not even, like, worried about the negatives anymore. So the power is going to the artificial intelligence. If they can create a system where their main AI data centers that run that military media industrial complex are out of the purview of the public, number one. Number two, can be cooled much easier. And number three, forget about the nuclear reactors. Say they have other forms of technology that provide energy that you and I aren't purview to, right? They could also utilize that there. That's, in my opinion, what Arctic security is really about. Now, I also think there's the ever-growing possibility that Arctic bases can be utilized to militarily strike other regions more easily and then be undetected as to who it may have been. But I think that's on the outer perimeters. You know, let's be honest with ourselves. Our country, Russia, first world nations, they've explored that region to a large extent. And we've had bases out there in the Arctic a long, long time ago. In fact, when you talk about the black ops world, it was so popular in the public vernacular. I think it was the X-Files movie. Remember when they did the movie before they brought the series back? I think it starts in the Arctic in, you know, some kind of black underground research facility. NASA, big with the Arctic. Big time in that region. That ridiculous story about a Chinese spy satellite being shot down. Wasn't Chinese, wasn't a spy satellite. I got news for you. You know, again, going back to you know, the flat earthers. They, first of all, I love how they like to act like I haven't heard or watched all of their arguments and watched the documentaries and watched the debates. I have been in the game 20 plus years, everybody. I've heard it. I'm not saying I've heard it all. There's always more to hear. There's always more to see. I'm not omnipotent, but when it comes to large-scale arguments like that, I got news for you. I've looked into it, all right? And one of the big things they always talk about is helium, helium, helium. Yet what they shot down, okay, not a Chinese spy satellite, It was a, according to Seymour Hersh, it was essentially, we have these helium-based satellites that are not in low Earth orbit that usually are much more physically massive, by the way, because you want lightweight things in space, right? That's why a lot of that stuff isn't even like metal alloys. It's not even magnetized. I don't tell you that, but that's reality. Anyway, you have this other network of satellites. They refer to them as satelloons that you can watch NASA launch. They do it all the time. Okay? So AI, Arctic security. Let's continue on here down the line. China, digital finance, energy diversification. We just kind of talked about that, right? Although we're going to be talking about it. Hopefully we'll see how much time we have. Time flies when you're talking like me. With the IEA, the International Energy Association, and what they're doing with command and control. Because, I mean, guys, it ain't good. They want to take us off. They want that COVID 2.0 nightmare that Alex Jones talks about. They want you not with your own car, not with your own mode of transportation, without the ability to do anything without their permission. Pretty dangerous. When we talk about digital finance, by the way, again, mouthpieces at Davos. This is the hush-hush meeting outside of that, that I think a lot of the agenda is sitting at. They're talking about artificial intelligence as quote-unquote agents. They're just going to buy stuff for you. And how are they going to do that? The agents are going to have their own credit card that you've given permission to just buy stuff with. That's one of the digital finance things. Of course, any type of digital currency, any central bank digital currency, talks of the IMF and SDRs, all that's a part of it. Okay, Europe. I mean, obviously right now with the escalation of the United States, Iran, Israel, NATO, like we talked about, that's just a no-brainer. I talked about the fact that this escalation, to me, that's why they had it this early. And global trade is a big part of that. And again, the Middle East going nowhere. And I talked about this earlier, you know, kind of what the alliances are. This, you know, Russia, the next one. Not a Russian representation here. Don't get me wrong. There's global companies that are obviously doing business there. But there are different sects everywhere. Transatlantic defense industrial relationship. I mean, that is military-industrial complex. That's what that is. Transatlantic defense-industrial relationship. Military-industrial complex. Ukraine, they're keeping that one going strong. Hey, remember when Donnie T promised that he was going to end that? And Israel and Palestine, forget about it. Iran wasn't even on the table. Going to end those conflicts before he even stepped into office. Big fail. Big fail. Big fail. The U.S. of A is on the topic list. No kidding. And by the way, having it in D.C., you can only imagine the amount of side meetings that took place. I know Alex Jones covered it in the Obama deception. I covered it in Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, also produced by InfoWars. But the Bilderberg 2008 meeting, it is clear members of Bilderberg met with both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama behind the scenes, not in official capacities. In fact, so much so that Barack Obama, shortly after locking in the Democratic nomination, the power structure kind of had to decide who was going to be vice president, where they're going to put Hillary, because, you know, still very politically relevant and significant at that time, as even today, as a part of that party, she is. And Robert Gibbs, his press secretary, is on the jet with all the press who's been following around the Barack star, the new second coming of Jesus Christmas himself, right? And they realize they've been duped. They got duped. Where's Barack? Well, Robert Gibbs, he's like, he wanted to have some private meetings. You know, meetings outside of your purview. Meetings outside of the public. Can't do that with you guys around. So we tricked you. Didn't say we tricked you. So they're, you know, they're like, you know, our job is to follow the guy around. You know, he essentially just kidnapped us for no reason. Oopsie. Oopsie doopsie doo. And then later on, the losers over at CNN, they got word. It must be a powwow with Hillary Clinton and Barack at her house. No, no one's there. They go there. No one's there. No. Bilderberg meetings. That's what that was. Okay, 100%. Now, let's just wrap up the list, and then we'll get into the participants. Future of Warfare and the West. Now, I often and have on this network talked about the Future Strategic Warfare NASA document. You want Future of Warfare? Read that document, because it was an outline of everything up until this point, because the Future Strategic Warfare document is up to 2025. It was released in 2001, the summer of 2001, prior to 9/11. Significant for some of the things that it says in there, by the way. But this is their outlook. This is how they plan. And when I say they, I mean the Predator class. So let's take a look down the line of the membership here. Okay. Now, Stacey Abrams, who they just could not get into office. They try. That's how you know there is no quote-unquote group that rules the world or individual that rules the world. Again, I'm talking about being at my niece's volleyball tournament this weekend. And I'm at the table and kind of talking, you know, about what's going on. The Cubs are on. And one of the dads, you know, it doesn't take long for me, you know, just a few sentences to get into it, especially when it's like on a one-on-one basis. And me and him had talked one-on-one for a little while. And I explained to him that in D.C. this weekend, the most powerful people within this power structure, the westernized one, are meeting in secret in D.C. He's like, you know, that's funny. He's like, you know, I don't think that there's a bunch of people in secret ruling the world, but at the same time, I think there's a bunch of people in secret ruling the world. And that sums it up, right? That paradox, they're at least trying. They're certainly not the people that are present on the media 99.9% of the time. They're doing their best. Stacey Abrams, like I said, pretty wild, continues to go there. Ann Applebaum, staff writer over at The Atlantic. I'm a simple staff writer. I'm a simple journalist. I don't know how you could have journalistic integrity going year after year after year to a meeting like this one. I don't think it exists. Okay? So let's keep it going down. There's Adam Barstolowicz, president of the WB Group. Kind of a big deal. You know, you keep going down through. Let's see. I talked about the IEA, the International Energy Agency. I called it an association because I get things wrong. But they're there, of course, for command and control on the type of power that you will be rationed and allotted. Yeah, Albert Bourla, been going a lot since the COVID-1984 nightmare. Good old CEO of Pfizer. Good people. Good people. You got the USA Secretary of the Interior. Kind of, you know, again, no biggie. These people aren't powerful at all. Camilla Cavendish, member of the House of Lords. And by the way, the King and Queen of the Netherlands. And they've been, you know, Prince Bernard of the Netherlands, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands. They're staples. And they're coming as a couple this year. Not those two. The current King and Queen of the Netherlands. I love that we have European royalty, right? By the way, that's a great idea. I'm sure Gavin McGinnis loves European royalty as well. You know, being, you know, Canada, a province of the royals. I just makes me want to throw up in my mouth every time I think of a person or persons wearing a cape and crown unironically. I think I'm just like, but again, what do I know? You got the CEO of Stripe. You talked about digital finance and payment centers there at the meeting. Let's continue on down the line. Stanford University actually makes a appearance a couple of times. You got the Secretary of the Army of the United States there. Yeah, again, people who are big deals all around. Financial Times is there. Didn't mention them. Bloomberg, of course. Spotify, that's another big narrative management company, especially. That's the new media narrative management. Who do we allow to go viral? Who do we give big contracts to and pump their podcast everywhere? That's what that is. Just delay. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can get some. There's still some organic stuff out there, but boy, do they try to push that organic stuff by the wayside. Prisa Media is there again. This reaches well beyond the United States. Going down the line, you got CEO of Stark, AIB Group. You got the CEO of Royal Philips. You got the Prime Minister of the Netherlands there, the Minister of Defense of Sweden there. You got the co-board of directors of the United Nations there, another mouthpiece for public globalism and a mechanism for your global enslavement when something of an emergency through the World Health Organization comes about. Nobody covering this? A couple energy companies. Yeah, there's Alex Karp. Don't worry. Peter Thiel's there as well. The good people at Palantir. And, you know, that was a clip I should have gotten. And in some instances, in the clip I'm talking about, it's not just like Alex Karp jumping around, just like on God knows what as he's talking his crazy stuff. I actually kind of like the stark honesty that they kill people. Global gangsters. This is the true face of organized crime. Only the vast majority, if not every single member of them, will never be criminally prosecuted for any of their crimes at all. You know, Larry Summers used to go there. Good, another associate of Epstein. Think of the clause of Epstein, the Trilateral Commission, which was built out of Bilderberg. David Rockefeller, Zbigniew Brzezinski. They wanted the Asian influence also to be invited there. They said, no mas. The Europeans were like, we're not going to have, okay, we'll start another thing. And that has a little bit more of a public face. But this is the power structure. We're going to continue on with Bilderberg, wrap it up in the next hour. Go check out the alexjonesstore.com right now. Get the hats, get the apparel, get the t-shirts, get the supplements, and get active in the information war. More war room after this.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America is 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now, thealexhostore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the InfoWar this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over bought anything, thealexhostore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.